us, please join us. If you haven't personally experienced the kindness of our Savior, we would like to meet you today. May these words give you insight into his heart and his thoughts towards you. A little while ago, I was sitting at my desk at work on a quiet Saturday. It was the weekend and I had the office to myself. I thought about the Lord and I asked conversationally, "Lord, why don't you return today? That would sure be awesome." And briefly, I let my imagination run and thought about what that would mean, what that would look like. But then I think the Lord wanted to answer that question because I had a picture pop into my mind. It was a scene kind of reminiscent of the parable of the prodigal son. I saw the father walking down a dusty road. His robes were hitched up around his knees, but he was paying no attention to that. He was intent upon something down the road. And I looked to the side, and I saw the prodigal son. He was wearing an old, tattered robe covered in dust. He wasn't moving at all. He was just standing there, a picture of exhaustion and dejection. His hair was hanging over his face, as if he was ashamed to be seen or recognized. The father walked up to him and wrapped his arms around him tenderly, with great compassion. The young man just stood there with his arms at his side. He couldn't speak or even look up. But the father, as he held his child so close, had such a look of contentment and happiness on his face. And then the Lord said to me, "Do you realize that after I return, I will never again be able to do this? This is my greatest joy." Speaking of the parable of the prodigal son, the Jewish culture of Jesus' day had a tradition called kezuzah. Literally translated, it means the cutting off. If a child brought shame to the family through their actions, they could be shunned or outcast by the entire community. A jar of grains was broken on the ground in front of everyone, symbolizing that person could never return again. They were kezuzah, cut off. This young prodigal took his inheritance from his father before it was time. His father wanted him to stay in the family, but he grabbed what he could and ran, spending his inheritance on pleasure. This would have been a huge scandal to the whole community and a sense of shame for all, and especially for the father and his household. Jesus' audience would have known this. They would know that if the young man were to try to return later and be seen, the town would gather right then and perform the kezuzah ritual. Then he would be cast out forever. And how well the father knew this, but he had compassion on his son. He loved him. I think that's why Jesus said in the story, the father saw him while he was still a long ways off. He was looking for him. Every time he passed by a window or was out in the yard, he looked to see if his son might possibly be coming home. Perhaps as he sat out in the cool evening, his eyes would stray to the road, hoping to catch a glimpse of his child. He never gave up. And when he saw him at a distance, slowly trudging up the street, his heart leapt in his chest. At last he was returning, wasting no time. The master gathered his robes around him, and off he went at a run. This was scandalous. The lord of the house never ran anywhere. And to hitch his robes up and expose his legs? What shame! I can see his servants running after him in horror and embarrassment. Their master had lost his mind. And if I may add this note, this is the only place in the Bible where God the Father is shown to be in a hurry. He rushes down the road with complete abandon to rescue his lost child. What a beautiful picture of the heart of God. You see, the father knew he had to get to his son before the townspeople saw him. The father was willing to risk his own shame in order to spare his son's shame. The bewildered servants must have run after their master because he said, as he held his child, "Quick, bring a robe, bring a ring." The father knew the robe and ring were symbols of identity. if his son was wearing them again, he could not be cut off from the town and his father, his source of true life. Perhaps this story of the bewildered servants watching their master is similar to how the angels felt as they watched their beloved Son of God on earth. Did the mighty heavenly warriors, like the servants, react in astonishment and dismay when they realized the sovereign God, creator of everything, so high and mighty and glad, would now cast aside his glory and preeminence and send his Son, his only beloved Son, to suffer on behalf of fallen people? How scandalous. How unthinkable. And Jesus' actual death on the cross. How the angels must have wept in agonizing astonishment and deepest sorrow. Or perhaps rage, hands trembling on their swords as they watched their King of Kings, their glorious one, suffer. How well they remembered the night of his birth, the hope they had then, the awesome Son of God made flesh. What promise for the human race. Oh, how they sang and worshiped that night. Surely their King had come to save. But look at him now, mocked and crushed and utterly broken, and all of heaven weeping. What was their master thinking to send his only beloved one to such sorrow and shame and pain? Peter said the angels longed to look into the secrets of the gospel. They had no idea what God was doing. But the Father knew, and he had a plan. A shocking, daring plan. Maybe he didn't share it with the angels because he knew they would beg him not to do this incomprehensible thing, and the added pain would be too great to bear. Yes, it was a plan he knew that would cost him dearly. But he saw you and I standing in the street, head down, covered with dust and shame, dejected and hopeless. And he loved us. He felt compassion for us. Oh, he wanted to rescue us. So this is what he decided he would do. He would send his Son to carry all of our shame. The Son would carry our earthly grief so we could have his heavenly joy. The Son would be given a cross so we could be given a robe and a ring. The Son would gladly leave heaven so that we might enter. The Son would empty himself so we could be filled. And the cross, that symbol of shame and death, would become the wonder of the universe and the glory of eternity. The risen Son would again ascend to his rightful place on the throne, even more glorious than before, if that were possible. Now his magnificence would only be increased by scars on his hands and feet. Some unfallen being from another world might wonder at these, asking themselves how one so perfect could have what appeared to be blemishes. Oh, but for his brothers and sisters, the millions he had rescued, they were everlasting symbols of his love and mercy. Now, not only would the angels of heaven worship and adore him, but so would the millions he had saved and rescued. The gladness and joy of heaven would increase forever, all because of the cross and the Father's love. How good your arms feel around us, Lord. You saw us while we were still a long ways off, lost and alone, without hope. And you cast all your glory aside, and you ran out to meet us. How blessed we are to be safe in your arms forever, wearing a heavenly robe and a ring. How thankful we are for your Son and all of his kindness. Thank you for the cross, Jesus. Thank you for rescuing us. May our joy and your glory increase forever. Amen. Let us not be like the prodigal. Through the power of Jesus' sacrifice for us and communion, let's run to the Father's open arms and rejoice together in all of his kindness, all of his goodness, all of his love.
We are celebrating the one who has afforded us the opportunity to experience new birth. And speaking of new birth, it's pretty awesome that you guys are at church today. This young lady had a baby on April 16th.